Okay, so as Jeff said, I'm Jennifer Bissett, and I'm going to be talking about data integration in the absence. Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to be talking about data integration in the absence of electronic medical records. Basically, I'll talk about the background. Why in the world would we even attempt such a thing? Maybe a little bit crazy, but that helps. And describe some of the challenges of data integration, lessons learned, and future implications and activities. So why? Well, in 2008, Virginia was one of 12 sites to receive a five-year grant funded by the CDC, and it's called the STD Surveillance Network. It was an expansion of a three-year grant that we also had participated in. In that, we did some self-administered interviews in four of our STD clinics. So initially, the focus was on gonorrhea. But for this new cycle, it was actually more of a comprehensive look at the STD clinic attendees. So we were looking at the inclusion of additional STDs and evaluating HIV testing coverage, which then brought the challenge that this data resides in multiple databases and data systems. So initially, I should know better than to think such a thing. It couldn't be that difficult, right? I have enough experience to know that, of course, it would be. So the real question is, was it worth it? So I'll let you guys ponder that while I continue on. So our data sources initially start with the patient coming into the STD clinic. They're put into a system at the local health department. It's called WebVision. It was originally created for fiscal purposes, so it's not that robust. But it became our center because that's the first point in which they came in. We know for sure that's where they, you know, all the information would actually be there, right? So that's our center. Now, to get additional STDs, we went to our wonderful STDMIS data system, where we have all of our STD test morbidity and interview data. And then for HIV testing coverage, we actually had to go to two places. One was the HIV Counseling, Testing, and Referral Services scan system. And the other one was an electronic laboratory reporting that we're getting. We're just getting it off the ground. It's coming straight from the state laboratory. The only thing is that we haven't quite tested everything, so there's a little glitches. So we have to go to both things. The scan system, unfortunately, it takes time for us to be getting that information. The lab, we're getting every day. So it became important to have both. And then for the enhanced surveillance data, we went to our interviews. So we knew better than to try this alone, or so we thought. So we knew we had the data and database management and the program skills, but we also knew that we had very little time and it was going to take a lot of technical skill. So we went to our Office of Information Technology Unit, it was a data warehouse, and they had the technical skills. So what we anticipated was that we'd have greater efficiency and that it would be an aggressive timetable. We'd be able to get everything going pretty quickly with the two of us working together. But in our meetings with them, I kept feeling I was in a comedy, and this one in particular kept coming to mind because despite all my efforts of trying to very precisely put for each element what exactly was going to be needed, what they were going to have to do, how they were going to have to code it, and all that, they just didn't get it. But I kept trying because I kept thinking, well, they've got the technical skill and I don't have the time, right? Well, the unexpected outcome was that disconnect actually did negatively impact the project. And most of their work had to be redone. So, a different approach. So I tried to look at what they did. Where did they go wrong? And how could I make that better? Well, I realized that they didn't separate the issues with the data that was actually in the data systems from the matching. They just matched. So all the problems that were in the data were still there when they tried to match. So I thought, well, that's not going to work. First, let's try and fix the problems that are in the data systems. So streamline the data, deduplicated, especially with those relational databases, you've got, you know, one-to-many relationship, expanded the number of fields so they could all be one record. So Veracity MIS in particular, this is what I ended up doing. I grab all these different tables, I brought it into SQL, deduplicated our patients, deduplicated our morbidity. Now I knew that that was going to be something that I was going to have to do. But what I didn't expect was that when you delete a patient, that their tests and their labs don't automatically get deleted. Well, I started with tests because we were looking at events. So when I saw duplication, I went, wait, that's not right. How can that possibly happen? So when I realized that problem, I then had to make sure to remove any of those patient IDs that were not in the patient table. So always expect the unexpected. Okay, so then matching. For SDMIS, that was our biggest hurdle because we didn't have a unique identifier between the systems of WebVision and SDMIS. So it became a matter of matching by name, date of birth, day collected, and provider, and that's always fun. And, well, you see a lot of errors. I expected that. But the name was the worst, especially when they had a suffix. So, as you can see, Donald Duck Jr. there. In WebVision, they might have had first name is Donald, last name is Duck Jr. And in SDMIS, our data entry staff may have inadvertently put the last name as the first name and vice versa. And maybe in another data system, it's a little differently. And then you try and match these things and you have problems. So I looked for the most common ones and found 13 and automated it. So now, the issues with the matching for unique IDs, or at least most of the time unique IDs. For HIV-CTR, the staff write it on the form. Well, we know how well that works, right? So I did have a lot of concerns. And for DCLS, it's a state lab. And that data electronically goes to the lab and then comes to us. So what I wasn't expecting was that we'd have some that didn't match because it goes through electronically, right? I mean, come on. They've got to match it 100% or not. And then for the Sun interview, they have to place a sticker on the form, so they have to remember. Okay, so in the end, all my efforts, at least I did a good job in trying to look at all the different data issues and resolve them, because in the end, for WebVision and SDMIS, I ended up with a 94% match. Now, you'll notice that there was 3% that were a manual match, which is always tedious. And for DCLS, it was 97, and for HIV-CTR, it was 95%. So, pretty good. Then I wanted to look at the tests, and overall, it's up 95%. So I'm pretty happy with it, but I'm a perfectionist, so I'm still working on it. Now, all of this takes a lot of time, so the importance is automation. So I automated it in SQL, created data transformation services packages, and then I created jobs just to consolidate everything. Ended up with 4 jobs that run 12 of those DTS packages. So now lessons learned. Expand the number of staff that know the data systems, because it's been a lot of pressure on me. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. Stressing the importance of public health informatics, because, you know, that technical skill plus the knowledge and the data flow, that breeds success. And you really can't do it outside of it. And they really are the ideal project lead. Having a person that knows the data systems but also has the technical skills is imperative. You won't make it otherwise. So that's the end of my presentation, but I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Jennifer. We have a question.
I'm actually from Virginia and from the HIV side. Do you see any possibility that we may come up with a system of unique identifiers across STD prevention, HIV, just health, TB, so that all the data systems could
work together?
Harmony?
Right, yeah. Yes. Well, actually, I've already started with HIV and EHARs, because I was concerned about that, and we will be moving to some of the other things that we're going to be doing. And well, it's not an easy task, but what I did is have our data entry staff put in all the EHARs numbers into SCDMIS, and they're almost finished. So I'm glad for that, because when I start getting started with that, they'll be able to match pretty well. But no, there isn't an easy solution at all. Thanks. Oh, sorry.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for that talk. My question is a little along the lines of the last one, which is, given all the hard work that you have done and maybe shared characteristics with other health departments or entities that participated in your work, is it possible to generalize it so that not all restricted to your health department, for example, or can it be used elsewhere?
Right. So, can this kind of formula be applied to other states
settings?
I definitely think so. The principles that are there, the things that I had to look for and had to account for, are standard issues in any data system. It's just a matter of trying to figure out if they apply to you. So absolutely, it's all about the coding and being able to just apply it, because this is being done just for our Sun sites. But we're going to go ahead and go across the whole state and do the same thing, and then we're going to be creating a data system that would allow for that data to be disseminated to our local health departments. And we're having a robust repository of data that we can do all kinds of analyses and all kinds of things with. So that's the goal. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
One more question.
Okay, yes.
Hi, my name is Vicki Stovall. I want to thank Jeff for a phone call about 2 years ago that we got to talk to you about. We're from Maryland, same line. And you described your SAM. And Jennifer, who are you specifically referring to in your first lessons learned? In terms of increasing the number of staff who are familiar with the system?
Well, in particular, that's a lesson learned that we learned for us, because it came down to me. And I really would have liked to have other people be able to help with the doing this project. It's very stressful to try to account for all the different data issues that are in all these, data systems, and then to automate it. So it became important for us that we do need to address that. But we had a lot of turnover.
If you were to do it again, who in your program, either currently or, are you talking about a new position or three or four, Well, who would be the appropriate person in your program? I'm afraid that we're in a similar situation. We don't want to rerun your lessons.
I see. Okay, so who would be appropriate? Right, so who would be appropriate to do this? I would say that it would be the people that actually deal with the data, that know how it comes in, knows the issues, knows that, these different health departments don't complete this form well, because those are the people. But, it's difficult, because they might not be that technically inclined. They might not even really care to want to kind of get involved in all of that. But ideally, they would be the best ones to at least be at the table, at the very least.